This special broadcast of Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State Address is produced by 360 North and Gavel, Alaska. In just a few moments, the governor will be speaking to a joint meeting of the Alaska House of Representatives and the Alaska Senate from the state capitol in Juneau. I'm Rosemary Alexander, news director at KTOO. With me is Alexander Gutierrez, state capitol correspondent for the Alaska Public Radio Network, new to the capitol, but certainly not new to Alaska issues. Alexander, the first session of the 28th Alaska Legislature began yesterday, and we know that energy, oil taxes, and a natural gas pipeline will be a major part of the conversation.
That's right, Rosemary. The governor introduced this morning his new oil tax package, as well as an interior energy plan. And we should hear a lot about both of those things tonight. Right now, we've got legislators settling into the chambers. Mrs. Parnell and members of the governor's cabinet are in the gallery.
This is Governor Parnell's fourth State of the State address. The annual speech to the legislature and public is usually considered the governor's sense of the health of the state, as well as his proposal for spending and legislation. And of course, this year the governor has already proposed his budget that came out just a month ago today, and he has been introducing legislation for his major initiatives throughout the last couple of days.
That's correct. Today he also introduced a new crime package that kind of expands on his previous priorities for his Choose Respect campaign, which focuses on reducing the rates of domestic violence and sexual trafficking in the state of Alaska.
And legislators are standing as the governor is being ushered into the chambers. We will now go live to Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State address to the Alaska State Legislature and the Alaska public.
It is our pleasure to welcome the Honorable Sean Parnell, Governor of the great state of Alaska.
Thank you. What an honor to be with you and be back. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, Lieutenant Governor, former Governor Sheffield, distinguished guests, and fellow Alaskans, I come before you to discharge a duty as old as our democracy. At the beginning of every legislative session, Alaska's Constitution requires the governor to report on the state of our state. That is as it should be, because in our country, government reports to the people, not the other way around. Now, over the next 90 days, we must heed voices far beyond the echo of this chamber. We must hear not only the voters who cast their ballots in the last election, but also future generations who will cast judgment on the legacy of opportunity that we leave. This is the voice of history, and we must answer its call. As I look around this chamber, I see many fresh faces. Lawmakers who I have no doubt will rejuvenate our debate. So join me in welcoming our newest members and their families. As I look around, I also remember lawmakers who once served. This past year, we said farewell to Representative Carl Gatto and former lawmakers Al Adams, Cheryl Hines, Bruce Kendall, Michael Byrne, and Henry Pratt. We also remembered 9 military service members who deployed from Alaska and perished before returning home. They gave their lives for our freedom, and now we live forever in their debt. Let us stand to thank our service members and veterans, all who have stood in defense of our country. I want to honor one veteran in particular. He was going to be with us until technical issues at the Juneau Airport today prevented that. It wasn't fog, technical issues. After Pearl Harbor was attacked, Rod Bain joined the 101st Airborne Division. A member of Easy Company, he landed under fire with his band of brothers in Normandy on June 6, 1944. When Sergeant Bain came home from war, he gave Alaska 25 years of service as a teacher and administrator in schools, from Cake and Petersburg to Anchorage. An educator, a commercial fisherman, and a veteran, Rod Bain represents the best of Alaska and the best of America. We are honored to have Sergeant and Mrs. Bain's daughter, Donna, with us here tonight. Let's give Donna a hand in honor of her father, too. Thanks to the legacy that Alaskans like Rod and Donelle Bain, Donna's mother, have given us, our state, the last frontier, has remained first in freedom. Tonight, I can report to you that our economy remains prosperous, our natural resources remain abundant, our schools remain hopeful, our workers remain competitive, and the state of our state remains strong. In a time of economic retreat across much of America, Alaska has stepped forward as an outpost of opportunity. Over the past 2 years, between 2009 and 2011, more people moved to Alaska than at any other time in nearly two decades. Americans aren't just looking north to the future, they are moving north to the future. While other states run unsustainable deficits, Alaska has billions in budget reserves. While America saw its credit rating shamefully downgraded, we have seen ours upgraded to AAA. While the federal government in Washington has grown faster than taxpayers can afford, we've held state agency spending growth in Alaska to less than 1%, the lowest increase in recent years. No wonder Alaska has been recognized as one of the best-run states in the country. That is in part a tribute to your convictions and to your commitment to your constituents, and I thank you. The question before us tonight is not what is the state of Alaska. The question is how can we keep the state of Alaska strong? Make no mistake, our present prosperity does not guarantee our future security. The choices we make during this short session will have long-lasting consequences. So let us choose wisely. Let us choose well. To keep the state of our state strong, let us choose a future of safety and respect. In recent years, we united against three evils: domestic violence, sexual assault, and trafficking. Last session, we defined sex trafficking as the terrible crime that it is, and I was proud to sign that bill into law. Now, when we catch sex traffickers, we can give them a one-way ticket to the one place they belong, to prison. This session, I'm going to ask you to build on that effort by passing comprehensive crime legislation addressing domestic violence, sexual assault, and trafficking. The bill I propose would increase sentences for child pornography, ensure sex traffickers serve all of their time, require Johns who target minors to register as sex offenders, and allow court-ordered GPS tracking of abusers, stalkers, and assaulters. By passing this legislation, we will send a stern message to criminals who prey on the weak. You won't get away, and you will pay. To ensure predators and other criminals have nowhere to hide, I ask you to fund 15 more village public safety officers for communities that often have no other law enforcement. We've already seen what a difference these officers can make. According to the Copper River Native Association, new VPSOs around Glen Allen have reduced assaults. By adding more VPSOs, we can assure that Alaskans receive the help they need when they need it and not days later. Where population growth has strained resources in the Mat-Su, the Kenai Peninsula, and Fairbanks, I ask you to fund 15 more state trooper positions. Law enforcement intervention, of course, is the other front in our battle against domestic violence and sexual abuse. The other front is creating a culture of respect through prevention. Now active in more than 120 communities, our Choose Respect initiative has helped break cycles of abuse and exploitation. I thank all of you for leading annual marches in your communities. The cultural wave of respect that we have started has swept across our schools and sports fields. And we will not rest until this hopeful tide washes over every corner of our state. To keep the state of our state strong, let us also choose a future of higher standards and higher achievement in our schools. The jobs of tomorrow will require more education and more training, so we must begin preparing our students today. Of all Alaska's natural resources, our children are unquestionably the most valuable. In a world where college diplomas and advanced certificates are more important than ever, too many of our young people never even earn a high school diploma. Alaska's graduation rate remains under 70%, and as far as I am concerned, that is not a passing grade. So tonight, I ask you to join me in achieving a new goal. Let's raise our graduation rate to 90% by 2020. That's the threshold for an A grade. Meeting our goal will require raising expectations. To see the power of high expectations, just look at the success of Alaska Performance Scholarships. More than 4,600 young people have already earned these scholarships by taking more rigorous coursework. By fully funding performance scholarships, you sent our students a hopeful message. When you achieve high standards in the classroom, we in this chamber will help you achieve your dreams. Meeting our goal will require outstanding teachers. That's why the State Board of Education has not only raised content standards, but now will evaluate teachers based on how well their students learn. That's why we recommend giving teachers more freedom to teach by eliminating the unnecessary, outdated assessments like the Terra Nova, while leaving our important standards-based assessments in place. Meeting our goal will require a commitment to childhood literacy. Our next major initiative will be improving reading instruction for kindergarten through third grade, because literacy is a critical building block for success. Meeting our goal will require an unwavering focus on the low-performing schools that need the most help. We have resolved time-consuming litigation so we can get back to improving education. Instead of draining resources in courtrooms, we're investing unprecedented resources in classrooms. Meeting our goal will require innovation. Through the promise of digital learning, we can deliver world-class instruction to Alaska students anytime, anywhere, especially in our most rural communities. Our efforts will include partnering with school districts and the Association of Alaska School Boards on the Alaska One-to-One Digital Learning Initiative. Because when it comes to learning online, Alaska should be first in line. Finally, meeting our goal will require safe learning environments. We will continue working with you and our local school districts to improve school safety and security for Alaska's children. To keep the state of our state strong, let us choose a future of more oil production, not less. You know, our state's prosperity has always rested on natural resources, and tonight that foundation is at risk. Not because we are running out of oil, but because we are running behind the competition. Alaska's North Slope has billions of proven barrels, and billions more waiting to be discovered. What we do not have is a tax system that attracts new investment for greater Alaska oil production. Our problem is not below the ground, our problem is above the ground. One recent analysis shows a company will make substantially more at today's oil prices by investing in the lower 48 than here in Alaska. Over the past year, Alaska has dropped behind North Dakota in oil production. If this trend continues, we will soon fall behind California into fourth place. My friends, that's not even on the medal stand. Making matters worse, our laws give tax credit based on how much money companies spend in oil fields, not based on how much of that spending leads to production. While Alaskans, and many of us in this room, haven't always seen eye to eye on these issues, We can all see the obvious, that unless we restore balance to our tax system, our oil fields will become obsolete. We must make reforms, and we must make them now. Waiting, it only makes this problem worse. By eliminating progressivity and rebalancing capital tax credit payments, we can create a simpler 25% tax. Gone will be the old arguments about what qualifies for the capital expenditure credits. Gone will be the need to calculate progressivity each month. What will remain will be a more balanced, more competitive, and more predictable tax system, one with greater protections for Alaskans at lower prices in exchange for lower taxes at higher oil prices. As we debate these reforms, my administration will be open to new ideas, but not old delays. We will judge any proposal based on four questions. Is it fair to Alaskans? Will the ideas foster new oil production? Will they simplify and restore balance to our fiscal system? And will the changes make us competitive, not only for this year, but for the years ahead? If you pass legislation that answers these four questions, you won't have to ask for my answer, because you will get my signature. The time for action is now, not later. To keep the state of our state strong, let us choose a future that gets our gas to Alaskans first and then to markets beyond. In recent years, we have pursued two gas line efforts on parallel paths. Tonight, I can report that both projects have made progress. On one path, the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation, better known as AGDC, has pursued a small diameter line. The project has cleared major regulatory hurdles by obtaining a state right-of-way and completing an environmental impact study, all key steps forward. As AGDC has moved beyond these regulatory hurdles, it has also moved toward a larger diameter pipe. By switching to a larger pipe concept, AGDC has provided a simple answer to the complex question about how to lower the cost of getting Alaska's gas to Alaskans. Get more gas in the pipe. On the other parallel path, the Alaska Pipeline Project moves forward with backers including BP, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and TC Alaska. Last year, I stood before you and set benchmarks for gas line progress. And tonight, I can report that those benchmarks were met. For the first time, development of Alaska's eastern North Slope is underway. Hydrocarbons will come from Point Thompson by 2016. It's hard to overstate the significance of our administration taking the Point Thompson case to the Alaska Supreme Court and resolving that litigation. It means billions in new investment. It means 600 to 700 new sustained jobs. And it means progress toward a gas line project, because Point Thompson's facilities and infrastructure will be able to produce gas. For the first time, Alaska has three major producers aligned and working together with a pipeline company on an Alaska gas line. Members of my administration and I have undertaken an aggressive advocacy campaign throughout Asia, where liquefied natural gas demand is expected to soar in the coming years. Our goal was to put Alaska on the map in an even bigger way as a liquefied natural gas supplier. And that is exactly what we have done. We recently welcomed a South Korea delegation representing the largest LNG purchaser in the world. We also held discussions with a consortium of Japanese companies. There's no doubt that we have come a long way toward a gas line, but we still have a long way to go. Well, here's the roadmap I propose for AGDC. First, we need to boost AGDC's ability to build an all-Alaska gas line, or to participate with others in building one. Representative Hawker and the Speaker have filed legislation to add horsepower to AGDC's engine. Without sacrificing accountability, we can unite around that legislation and accelerate AGDC's work. We can accelerate a merger between the state's two parallel paths and help avoid redundant costs between the projects. Together in the committee process, we will ensure that AGDC can commercialize Alaska's gas for the maximum benefit of all Alaskans. While AGDC needs to be stronger, the Alaska Pipeline Project needs to make a firm commitment to an all-Alaska gas line. And tonight, I set another important benchmark for the private parties involved in the Alaska Pipeline Project. By February 15th, 1 month from now, they must select a concept on an all-Alaska project. So let me be clear. That means describing and detailing the project and pipeline specifications. More specifically, it means telling us the size of the pipe and the daily volume of gas. It means telling us the location of the gas treatment plant and detailing the number of compressor stations to move the gas along. It means telling us the size and scope of the liquefaction plant and LNG storage tanks. It means telling us the number of offtakes to ensure that Alaskans can utilize our gas for our needs. Most importantly, we want to ensure that APP's concept components are designed to ensure Alaska's gas goes to Alaskans first. By this spring, I call on the companies to finalize a commercial agreement to advance into what's known as the pre-FEED stage. That's pre-front-end engineering design for those of us who are not engineers. They must ensure a full summer of field season work will commence this year. And once into that pre-FEED stage, the companies will be spending hundreds of millions of dollars, private sector dollars, on this project. With concept selection made, a pre-FEED commercial agreement executed, and a summer field season completed in 2013, the project will finally move at the speed that Alaskans demand and our future requires. To keep the state of our state strong, let us choose a future of affordable and abundant energy. Despite all our energy sources, energy costs remain a huge burden for all Alaskans. And that needs to change. That's why we developed the Interior Energy Plan, a strategy that includes low-interest loans, gas storage tax credits, and cash for a movable gas liquefaction plant and distribution system. This plan jump-started private sector efforts for transporting natural gas in the interior. It will slash energy costs for homes and businesses. Tonight, I ask you to grant legislative authority to ADA to move this interior energy project forward. I also ask you to fully fund power cost equalization, renewable energy grants, and our budget request for the Susitna-Watonna Hydro Project. Taken together, these investments will keep us on the road to achieving our goal of 50% renewable energy. It's an important goal that we set, and it's a commitment that we intend to keep. To keep the state of our state strong, let us choose a future of public sector restraint and private sector growth. Let us come together to set a spending cap early this session, because limited government requires firm limits. Let us come together to support hardworking Alaskans and Alaska businesses. In recent years, Uncle Sam's growing reach has cast a shadow over the dreams of Alaska's entrepreneurs. While we in this chamber cannot unilaterally fix Washington's mistakes, we can act to minimize the damage. By reforming our unemployment tax law, we can reduce the tax burden on Alaskans and their employers. Last year, the state took an additional $20 million in unemployment insurance contributions, even though our unemployment insurance fund was solvent without that increase. It makes no sense for Alaskans and their businesses to be overtaxed so government can be overfunded. So tonight, I propose creating a formula to determine whether the unemployment insurance fund is solvent. If the fund has enough money, we will cut unemployment taxes, because it's time we cut a break for hardworking Alaskans and Alaska businesses. Let us also come together to stop federal overreach. When a federal agency tramples on what is our right, we will not roll over, we will not lie down, we will stand up for what is right. recently won a major victory when a federal court ruled that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had overstepped its bounds by declaring a huge swath of land here in Alaska critical habitat for polar bears without properly following the law. As Alaskans, we regularly experience the disconnect between federal flights of fancy and on-the-ground realities. Well, here's the reality. Washington, D.C. doesn't get Alaska. Never has, never will. Federal law, though, says that states have the right to regulate activities regarding their own lands and waters, and it's about time that Alaskans, we Alaskans, exercise these rights over our resources. So tonight, I urge you to pass legislation giving our state authority to seek and assume primacy over dredge and fill operations within our borders. By assuming primacy, the people of Alaska will have a greater say over their lands and waters. The future of Alaska belongs to Alaskans, not to Washington, D.C. Now tonight, I have outlined the challenges and priorities that will define this session. By working together, we can leave our children the future they deserve, a future of greater safety, of higher achieving schools, growing oil production, more affordable energy, vibrant economic growth, and much, much more opportunity. As you debate these proposals in the legislative branch, remember that you have a partner in the executive branch. From public servants deep within our agencies to the well-known cabinet members with us here tonight, we have state employees standing up for Alaskans, standing up against federal encroachment, and standing up for the values that make Alaska special. Among the 50 stars on the American flag, Alaska has always stood for a place high above the rest. It is the star that guided our first people and early pioneers. It's the star that rises in our time, even when troubled global markets dip and fall. And it is the star that we here tonight vow to keep burning and bright for future generations. That is the task before us. Let us answer history's call. Let us confront challenges that must be met, and let us work together in a spirit worthy of our fellow Alaskans. You know, if we stay true to our values, the values that veterans like Rod Bain defended in distant lands, then the state of our state will always be as it should be, strong and free. May God bless you, and may God bless Alaska. Thank you. Good night.
This has been Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State Address to the Alaska Legislature and Alaskans. The governor is now leaving the chambers. He's shaking hands as he goes out. And in just a few moments, we will go to a response from the House and Senate minority leaders. That's Beth Kurtula of Juneau and Johnny Ellis of Anchorage. Tonight, Governor Parnell outlined his priorities for the year. Alexandra Gutierrez of the Alaska Public Radio Network is here with me. Alexandra, what stuck out from the speech to you?
Well, so he opened with kind of one of his marquee efforts, which was to reduce the rates of domestic violence and sexual assault, as we discussed earlier. And, you know, that is something that most Alaskans can agree we need to work on. We have extraordinarily high rates compared to the rest of the nation. In his education section, he spent a lot of time talking about online learning, and bringing that to rural Alaska, where you don't necessarily have the same resources as some of the urban population centers, but you also kind of need to have the infrastructure to do that. The state has kind of built some of that up with the Online with Libraries program, but so he went into kind of the social stuff first before hammering into his energy package. And he got a lot of applause from the majority on that. He gave very clear support to an in-state gas line bill that has been introduced in the House and actually passed the House last year, which would build a a pipeline from the North Slope down to South Central. The idea there is to bring down energy costs in the interior, South Central, and also kind of set the stage for potential export. And, you know, as we expected, he also discussed his oil tax proposal in, you know, fairly clear terms. Like, this was his big pitch for it. And the way he characterized it was as more simple than what we currently have, and something that we won't necessarily have to tinker with. Democrats have already criticized his proposal, but we'll see how the fight plays out pretty soon.
Well, we've seen actually a lot of people already protesting that from the Democratic side, and we now have a picture of Representative Beth Curtula, Minority Leader for the House, and Senator Johnny Ellis, Senate Minority Leader. Okay, it looks like they're not quite ready to go, but we do have picture. We're waiting for audio. And we do know that they will be probably talking quite a bit about what they don't like about the governor's proposed tax plan. He wants to boost production but change the tax regime.
And right now, probably the biggest change that people have had concerns about is getting rid of progressivity, which, we'll have them explain it for themselves.
Yes.
Stand by.
Okay. Thank you for being here tonight and for listening in from home. I'm the House Democratic Leader, Beth Curtula, and I'm really honored tonight to be here with Senator Johnny Ellis, the leader of the Senate Democrats. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to encourage you to take a look at our websites, which are right here on the front of the podium. As Alaskans, we cherish certain things: our optimism, our independence, our great natural resources, and our ability as Alaskans to pull together to make our state strong and to keep our state strong. As Alaskan Democrats, we stand for economic development that brings jobs, security, and family stability to Alaska. We stand for education that gives our students a chance and gives our state a future. Affordable energy, so that we can all afford to stay in this great state. I was fortunate to grow up and to get to hear Governor Bill Egan, our first governor, talk about how our state was formed and about the fight for statehood. Our state stood up against the rich, moneyed outside interests to form our state and to build Alaska. Now we must stand up for our students, for affordable energy, and for Alaska's fair share of our resource wealth. You know, investing in education is the ultimate investment, not the ultimate governor. Sorry, the ultimate giveaway, as this governor said last year. Democratic legislators have led with ideas such as parents as teachers, where you involve parents in their students' beginning and to help parents support their children in school, and student loan relief for those who put their skills to work in Alaska. Our goal is to make Alaska's schools competitive. Alaska's schools are improving, but what can we do to make them the best? You know, listen to teachers, they know. The governor wants to require more of our students, but less of the oil industry. If he wants a 90% graduation rate, he needs to listen to the teachers and give them the resources that they need. They need the ability to build on successful programs. They need the same resources next year, at least the same resources next year that they have this year. And they need to know their jobs are secure. For the last 3 years, the support our schools can count on has remained the same, but inflation has gone up each year, forcing cuts in the classroom. We must stop asking our students to bear the burden of inflation, and we have a bill that will ensure our schools can count on having the resources they need from one year to the next. It's long overdue. It's time for Alaska to make a lasting commitment to our schools. Democrats have always led on education, and we will continue to focus on educating Alaskans for the good jobs of tomorrow. We live in Alaska. It's kind of cold sometimes, and it's essential we find ways to lower the cost of energy. Families must be able to heat their homes, and our businesses depend on it. To do this, we must build on our successes. Thousands of Alaskans have taken advantage of the home weatherization program, helping them cut their heating bills by a third and generating jobs across the state. But this governor has consistently undercut the program, holding it back and preventing more Alaskans from saving on energy. Alaska has tremendous renewable potential, from small communities to large scale. But again, the governor has not given his full support to moving these projects forward. Alaska needs a true energy plan. We must set goals and develop actual criteria so we can prioritize and coordinate projects. The governor has not led on energy, so we will. Alaskan Democrats know how important it is to lower energy costs for you and your family. When I first started in the legislature, Senator Ellis and I were both on the special committee on the BP-ARCO merger. We worked very hard against the nearly complete monopolistic control of the lifeblood of this state, our oil resource from the North Slope. That merger would have crippled Alaska's economy. Alaskans stood up then and they said no, they stopped that merger. And we have gone on to have a strong profits tax that has ensured Alaskans prosper when the oil companies do. The governor's new bill would mean that when the oil industry rakes in record profits, Alaskans will be firing teachers and troopers and not building roads and not building ferries. So this new bill is still a giveaway. And with that, it's my pleasure to introduce Senator Johnny Ellis.
Thank you, Representative Curtula. Good evening. Again, I'm Senator Johnny Ellis, leader of the Democrats in the Alaska State Senate. And I'm sorry to have to report to you tonight that, with all due respect, the governor has announced a bill to upend our oil tax system, a bill that is an even bigger giveaway than his original oil wealth giveaway of last year. His proposal would shortchange the state by almost $2 billion in our preliminary analysis. That's $2 billion a year by eliminating the windfall profits aspect of ACEs. That means that when the big three oil companies are raking in record profits from high energy prices, Alaskans will no longer receive their fair share of these windfall profits. And the reality is we may be laying off teachers and firefighters while outside shareholders are rewarded with billions in profit from our oil. And Democrats made it clear in the last legislature that we were willing to modify progressivity in an intelligent and meaningful way that helped the industry bottom line but did not rip off the people of Alaska. The simple truth, and it's a hard truth, is that the governor's bill would take Alaska over the fiscal cliff. The governor's bill allows multinational, multi-billion dollar corporations to take our oil wealth and move it to foreign countries. That's $2 billion gone with no strings attached and no guarantees to fill the pipeline. And isn't that the goal? That $2 billion is money we need for our schools, our roads, our public safety, and our state savings. So if we give away $2 billion for nothing in return, according to the governor's own budget director, the state will immediately plunge into deficit spending. Now that's a headline for you, deficit spending immediately. Governors Egan, Hammond, and Hickel would never have stood for such a bad business deal, and neither should we. If politicians give away $2 billion a year of your money, the money we use to build roads and keep our streets safe, who do you think they will ask to pick up the tab? Democratic legislators worked hard to save $17 billion in the past few years. We worked in a bipartisan fashion to achieve that amazing feat. But if Alaska stops getting its fair share for our oil resources, it will bust our budget. And that means politicians will look to sales and income taxes and a potential raid on your PFD. That's not scare tactics, that's what's coming if this bill passes. And that's something Democratic legislators think is just plain wrong. We're willing to work with the governor. We reach out our hand to this governor and to this leadership to make a bad bill better. We want to be part of the conversation, and we plan to be there when the decisions are made. And Democratic legislators have better ideas to offer. First, we say to the oil companies, we will partner with you and provide even bigger tax breaks than you already get, and they are enormous, if you drill here in Alaska to our mutual benefit. Second, Democratic legislators have consistently said, no reduction without more production. Alaskans understand that. No reduction without more oil production. That's just common sense. Third, we must enforce the existing leases we have with oil companies and their duty to produce. We already have laws in place and obligations that should be fulfilled. Fourth, require better access to oil facilities so small oil producers can get in the game. They are the future of oil production in this state. And one idea is to put the $2 billion into an escrow account and reward the oil companies when they produce more Alaskan oil. That would protect our interests and reward them for good behavior. And by the way, Democrats think oil companies should hire more Alaskans to work in our oil fields on the North Slope. We understand the limits of local hire and Alaska hire, the constitutional limitations. We also know that it would be good business to hire Alaskans. We train them, they ought to get hired. The biggest complaint we receive is oil workers flying through the airports of Alaska, laughing their way out that they bought nothing more in Alaska on the private economy than a cup of coffee on their way to Point South with gigantic paychecks that should benefit Alaskan families. Alaska's Democratic legislators want to get more oil in the pipeline, but please be clear. We would never sell out Alaskans to outside interests, because it was U.S. Senator Bob Bartlett in 1959 at the Alaska State Constitutional Convention who warned us to beware of outside interests who would exploit Alaska's resource to the detriment of our state. That is a warning we must heed today. Yesterday, Democratic legislators raised their right hands and swore an oath to the Alaska Constitution. In fact, all the legislators yesterday were raising their right hands to pledge to that Constitution. The Democratic legislators are clear that we swore an oath to the Alaska Constitution and not to outside shareholders. And that is the Constitution we will protect and defend during the next 90 days. So if you agree with our Constitution and that our state treasury as well as your children's future are worth defending, please contact your elected officials as soon as possible. We urge you to act today as if Alaska's future depends on it, because it does. Thank you.
This special broadcast of Governor Sean Parnell's State of the State address to the Alaska Legislature and Alaskans, as well as the minority response, has been produced by 360 North and Gavel, Alaska. For more programming information, please visit our website, 360north.org. For Alexander Gutierrez, I'm Rosemary Alexander. Good night from Juneau, Alaska's capital.